Good morning, everybody. We're going to be going through God's character today. 10 aspects of God's character and how God's character is available to us even now. And those who are on Zoom, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12. And that way, because the handout is just a list of these 10 things that demonstrate God's character so that you can have this kind of character now. And this is worth its weight in gold. We have discussed this previously, but not in the same venue as we're going to cover today regarding his character and how we receive his character, because a lot of people are struggling trying to become like God, and it ain't working. You know, because we can't do that, but we'll see here today exactly what to do so that this actually can become a very easy process and it becomes very exciting and enjoyable. So let's begin with prayer and ask God to guide us. Our Father in heaven, again, we come to you. We want to be your house of prayer. We want to worship you. We want to have your heart. We want to think like you. We want your character, because that's the only way we can really be depended upon for eternity, is when we become like you. And right here and now, we are in training to become like you. And you brought out 10 areas here that are very, very important to you, that your son spelled out in the very first sermon that he gave, right off at the bat, giving an overview of what your character is all about. And that way we can focus. This is an overview of the whole Sermon on the Mount, all the things that are spelled out in more detail throughout the entire sermon you gave in Matthew 5 through 7. But we thank you that you've made it very simple right off the bat, and how blessed and happy we will be when we ask for these gifts that you promised for us. We ask this and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you have a pencil, I'm asking you to write down, just grab a piece of paper if you're on Zoom, and write down what you're going to learn about each one of these and how what is going to be very beneficial to you personally, so that you can begin to have more and more and more of God's character instead of our own. So right off the bat, he begins to start with, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, many times we think, well, God is God. He certainly can't be poor in spirit. How do you do that? I mean, he's rich. He's got the whole universe. He has it all together. But what this is talking about is an attitude that God has, that he is not trying to micromanage everybody. And this is what most people want to do. They want everybody else to measure up to their expectation. But God does not force people to change. All you have to do is look at the mess the world is in today, and God could do something about it. He could have done something about it 2,000, 5,000 years ago. And guess what? He didn't. He did at the flood. He just said, well, we need to start over because this ain't working. And we'll raise them up in the resurrection another 4,000 years from now and give them an opportunity to get out of the gigantic, hideous mess that they are in, where sin became the norm, where killing people was acceptable before the flood. Just killing people, no big deal. No consequence, just kill them, kill them, kill them, kill them. No big deal. God had to just wipe them out and start all over. But God wants us to become like him, where we are not micromanaging people. Jesus said in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, be ready always to give an answer to him that asks you. Now, it's very important for us to follow that example, because we don't want to be cramming Jesus Christ down people's throat. We want to do what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? He just went out everywhere and he was serving people. But that's getting ahead. That's the next one. But Jesus came to model what a poor in spirit individual is.
And he did that.
He did not force people. He encouraged people. He blessed them. He did things for them all the time. And that's what he wants us to do. If we have his character, we are not going to be micromanagers of other people. We'll model the right example so that they will want to follow our example. The second one is, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now, this addresses the number one thing that people are more concerned about than anything else. Somebody who really cares about them. When you mourn, it shows that you care about what somebody is going through. And God wants us to learn to have his character. God mourns. He yearns. His eyes rove throughout the entire earth, yearning for people to turn their hearts to him, because he wants to give them everything. But what God is looking for, notice this about mourning. Those who mourn not only care, but they listen. Now, what two things do you think God does more than anything else? He listens, because you haven't heard him talking a whole lot, except if you open the Bible and you can read it. But he listens to all of our prayers, and he cares, for he cares for us. What a gift, what a blessing. That is what mourning is all about. Jesus came to care for the hurting. He was healing people everywhere. He was serving people everywhere. And all we need to do in order to have this attitude of mourning is ask God to give us his character of mourning, where we actually feel for others and empathize with others and listen to others and care about others and look at Jesus as our model, because that's what he did. Everywhere he went, he cared about people. Read Matthew 6:33. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he said, I'll just give you everything. Matthew 9:36, what it talks about Jesus having compassion on the multitudes. And that compassion, he says, they were like sheep without a shepherd. But Jesus had compassion on all those people that were surrounding him. And he says, it's like they are a sheep without a shepherd. They've got nobody to care for. And this is our job. With God's character is to care for others. When you care for other people, which is what our church is very, I'm thankful, very focused on, and that's a very good thing. But that is what brings happiness. If you want to be really happy, stop serving yourself only. Serve others to the same degree you serve yourself. God says, love your neighbor as you do yourself. That is God's formula. That's God's character. Third one, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, meek, how would we describe God as being meek? But that's his character. Meekness, in the dictionary definition, is quiet and gentle, but easily imposed upon. Now, we brought this out a few weeks ago, but it's easily imposed upon. But I want us to look at it from another perspective, that this is what God is like. He's easily imposed upon. I have this little sign up in front of our house with a picture of Jesus on it, and it says, come unto me, all you who are weary. It doesn't say some of you who are weary and heavy laden. It says all of you that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. You know the story. But this is what God wants us to be. It's like Jesus. He is meek. He is easily imposed upon. When somebody imposes and asks something of you, are you happy or are you not happy? How is that? But when somebody is needing something or whatever, that is what brings happiness, is when we are like God, who is easily imposed upon, who loves to be imposed upon, not taken to the cleaners and taken advantage of. That's a different story. But when somebody is in need and you can see that, it is your joy to be able to help. That's God's character. And that's what he wants us to become like. He says, the greatest of you shall be your servant. So servant-heartedness is like God. And this is God's character. God is meek. He's easily imposed upon, gentle, He's compassionate. He's quiet. When was the last time he yelled at you? Maybe through circumstances, but whatever. Let's look at it from the perspective that God is meek, that he's easily imposed upon. Number four, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, where we crave his righteousness. He said, we need to seek his righteousness. Now, Jesus is that model for us to demonstrate what God is like. And Jesus, I was just amazed when I was reading this in Luke chapter 2, verses 46 through 47. I want to read that because it demonstrates an example for us. In Luke chapter 2, in verses 46 and through 47, notice this. This is Jesus when he was 12 years old. He wasn't even a teenager yet. He was just 12. And in verse 46, he talks about after 3 days, they found him because he was doing something that his parents were disappointed about, but he had a mission from his heavenly father to do this. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. But that's not all. At age 12, can you imagine being in a whole room of scholars? I mean, this individual called Jesus, who was modeling God's character, hungered and thirsted for righteousness, because notice what happens in verse 47. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. The only way people are going to be amazed at your understanding and your answers is when you hunger and thirst after righteousness as God did in the name of Jesus. Because God the Father said, Jesus came to demonstrate what the Father's like. And the Father is always learning. He knows all things, but he's learning things about human beings all along the process. And he is using the very character that he has to be a blessing to every human being. And we will see that when God's plan is completed. It is going to be phenomenal. And everyone is going to say, and even the angels, it says they desire to look into these things. They can't believe God's doing this with all these dirt bombs. You know, human beings made out of dirt. It's just phenomenal. But Jesus and the Father hunger and thirst for righteousness. God says his eyes roam the entire earth looking for someone who's willing to follow him. He yearns for that. Number five, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now, if there's any one word that comes up more often than anything, I've heard that fear is like around 150, but the word merciful or mercy comes up 341 times in the Bible about God. God is merciful. And that is his character. That is his nature. And the only way we can have that kind of character is when we ask for it. Because our human nature is only merciful half the time. Because it's a mixture of good and evil. If you remember back in Genesis, human nature was a mixture of good and evil. The good fakes everybody out because it's evil behind the scenes. God's character is merciful to the core. And that's what we need to ask for. God, give us your mercy so that we can have the kind of mercy that endures forever. I think it's in Psalm 136. It gives about 26 verses about God's, how his mercy endures forever. We can't have that without asking for it. God says, ask, seek, and knock. These ideas and these principles are so simple. That's right in the heart of the core. Matthew 7, verse 1. It's in the Sermon on the Mount. Just ask, seek, and knock. It's a very simple procedure in order to have God's character. But what we've got to get out of our heads is trying to do it ourselves without asking God to do it through us and for us. And we mentioned this 100 times, but we need to mention about 1,000 in order to really remember this. But I'll tell you, it has been life-changing for me personally to just simply ask God to do for me what I cannot. I cannot have his character on my own. There's no way, and you can't either. But all we need to do is ask for it, and it spells out what his character is. Ask God to help you to be merciful with his mercy, not yours. His mercy. There's a vast difference between your mercy and his mercy. So don't be happy with your mercy. It's not very good. In fact, God calls it wicked. Human nature is desperately wicked because anything that's got half poison in it is not going to be good to drink. Human nature is half poison. We need to understand that. So God's mercy endures forever. We don't get what we deserve. We deserve death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And all we need to do is just ask God for his mercy. If there's any one thing I'm very thankful for, is that my wife is very merciful. You know, and I can see the phenomenal growth in her because I can see it's just inspiring. Because it's not easy to live with somebody that's not perfect. And I just see the change that are in her where she puts up with things that I don't think she realizes. I've noticed that she is very merciful. And I'm very, very thankful for that. But this is what God wants. He wants us to be growing in grace and in knowledge. And these things make a big difference and make life exciting to see the changes taking place in each other and in our own personal lives. Number six, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in heart are those that seek the good. And this makes life much happier. When it says blessed are those, it means happy are those. If you want to be happy, ask God to help you to see the good in everything instead of the flaw. Because that's what human beings tend to do. We tend to see the flaw, but God sees the good. The thing that shocks me beyond comprehension is how God says that we are the righteousness of God. What? I know how messed up I am in so many, many different ways. Yet God blows the chaff away. That's what winnowing is. Talks about winnowing. He takes the wind up there and he blows the chaff away. The chaff is all of our sins. He just blows it away because it's all covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. But he sees the good. He sees the good in you. Guess what that good is? It's Jesus. That's what he sees. It's Jesus in us. And that's why we need to pray like God commands us to pray. You know, your kingdom come, your will be done. Your kingdom come is talking about Jesus. Jesus is the kingdom of God. That prayer means your kingdom. That's not talking about only when Christ returns and sets up his kingdom on this earth. Your kingdom come is a spiritual kingdom that we are receiving by the Holy Spirit now. It's Jesus. It's his character. It's his government. And we are eligible for that, and all we need to do is ask for that. And what a gift and what a blessing that it is that he's making that available to us. We need to make sure we thank God for every one of these, because if we're not thankful, that's not going to go over big. Number seven, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. When Jesus Christ returns to this earth, he's going to bring peace to the earth. What's he going to do? When he comes back to this earth, the very first thing he's going to do is he's going to give Satan the boot and say, Satan, get out of Dodge. You're not welcome. Get out. And he's going to throw him in a bottomless pit. We can do that now. And that's what he says. Lead us not into sore trial, but deliver us from evil, the evil one. That should be our prayer all the time. We wonder why we have all sorts of complications and trials and tribulations. We have, that's going to be a normal part of our human lifestyle, our life. But we have access. Remember when Peter was screwed up and he was telling Jesus that you're not going to die? And Jesus said, get you behind me, Satan. We need to see the source of many of our problems. The source of many of our problems are those fiery darts of the wicked one. And we can have power over that through prayer and say, God, just like you set an example for us when you walk this earth, please give Satan the boot in Jesus' name. Because when you use Jesus' name, Satan it's like tying him in knots. He can't do anything. The name of Jesus gives you incredible power. It's not something we should be abusing, where we just arbitrarily shooting Jesus' name over for this, that, and every other thing. But when you recognize that you are being tempted, be afraid to say, God, please protect me from the evil one, and put that shield of faith wherewith I can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. By your character, that peace, he will give you his peace so that you don't have to worry about it. And remember that Jesus was a peacemaker. He says, my peace I give to you, when he was speaking to the disciples in John 14, 27. So he did say, my peace I will give to you when you come in, when I come into your kingdom, my kingdom. All right, number 8. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of God's righteousness. And I put the word God's in there so that we understood that. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Because if we're persecuted because of our righteousness, that's not going to do a thing for God. It's for his righteousness. When you are living according to his righteousness, what his word commands, not what seems right. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 says, lean not unto your own understanding. If you just try to obey God and do what you think is right, you are evil. That is the biblical definition. You can read it yourself in Matthew 7. If you do just what you think is right, God calls that wicked. And that's pretty bold, but we need to understand that. Because the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So that's very, very important to make sure that it's his righteousness, not ours and what we think is right. And the more we read God's word, we'll find out what he wants us to do. And if you really want to have a bird's eye view of what God's character is magnified beyond those beatitudes, then read the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. Because it tells you all the things that your human nature does not want to do and why we need to be having God's inspiration to do those things. And how they change everything in your life and cause you to have the happiness that you never thought possible. But for his righteousness, a good example is abortion today. Today, it's acceptable. It could be the majority. I don't know how many. You can't trust all these surveys and stuff. But abortion is pretty much acceptable in the United States today. Do you know what happened to the Canaanites? The Canaanites, God had to go in there and just wipe them out because they were killing babies. Something to think about. That's why God went in there and wiped them out. Because they were taking their children and sacrificing them in the fire, burning them to their gods. Today, you might want to think about that. They may not be throwing them into the fire while they're alive, but the torture that they go through, you don't even want to hear about. You don't want to know about. It's hideous. So just something to think about. We need to, if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, that is righteousness. When you don't believe in killing, you know, and if somebody doesn't like that, that's not your problem. That's their problem. But you don't have to go out and just push it at anybody and so forth. But don't be afraid to stand up for what is right, because that's called righteousness. It is right not to kill, according to God's word. Number 9. Blessed are you when people insult you. This is so contrary to everything human beings believe. When people insult you, persecute you falsely, and say all kinds of evil against you because of me. You know what God says? Eat it up. Enjoy it. James chapter 1 and verse 2 should be a part of every one of our memory verses. Count it all joy when you fall into trials or tribulations. For God is building his character of perseverance in us through those trials. So we can look at life from a whole different perspective. You can rejoice all the time, even when you're going through severe crises or trials, because God is preparing you to be empathetic with somebody else that might be going through that 5 years from now. But God has given us a perspective so that we can begin to think like God does. And God is not intimidated by people that insult him. They're always cursing God all day long around the world today. You can hear it. And You know, God just says that they're only hurting themselves. He's not hurting God. God's not intimidated in any way, manner, shape, or form. In fact, he rejoices because he knows his word is going to take care of them. And whatever they say is going to come back to bite them later on, however God chooses to do that, because he's righteous, and that's what he says in the Proverbs. So what other people's opinions are needs to be irrelevant to us in comparison to what the word of God says. God's word trumps everything, but we need to be respectful for what other people think and respect their opinions. We don't need to say, well, your opinion is wrong. That's not our place. Be ready always to give an answer to him that asks you and say, well, this is what I believe, but whatever you believe, I respect that. And that way you are a peacemaker. Number 10, this consummates it all right here in one verse. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Let's get our minds fixated on Jesus, that we're going to be with him. I love this concept that God has given to us. It's the truth about reigning with him in his kingdom, sitting with him in his throne. I've mentioned this many times, but we need to be constantly reminded. This is our blessing from God. That, here, let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. I don't recommend we finish it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and verses 15 through 16. And here he says, make sure that nobody pays back wrong. No, it's verses 16 and 17. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. It doesn't say in all the circumstances that you like. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Wow. God just wants you to be happy and to be thankful and to take all those things that are beyond your scope of dealing with, just give it to God. Cast all your care upon him and just rejoice, because your reward in heaven for putting God first and loving him with all your heart, soul, mind, and being, it's off the charts. It is so phenomenal. And so this way, when we ask God to give us each one of these characteristics, God is giving us his character. It's not ours until he gives it to us. When he gives it to us, then it becomes ours. It came from God, and he's the one that gets the glory and the praise and the honor and the thanks. So let's thank him now for what he's given to us. Our Father in heaven, thank you, thank you, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your character. When Jesus lives in us and you live in us, Father, and the Holy Spirit lives in us, we can have your character now. We can have your meekness, your peace, your righteousness. All of these characteristics that are yours are available to us just for the asking. All we need to do is ask, seek, and knock, and you will pour out blessings upon us that we don't even have room to receive. And so, God, we just thank you, we praise you, and we just look forward to every moment that we get to spend with you in the remainder of our lives until we're with you in the kingdom and be spirit just like you and have no more pain, sorrow, suffering, and death. And so we pray your kingdom come now and forever. Amen.